I'm so glad to see all of you here this morning, and I hope you are ready to worship our Lord. Our announcements this morning, basically all we have is our choir practice. We do need a few more choir members, if at all possible. That starts at 5 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. We are doing the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. If you are interested in learning about that, please go to the Samaritan's Purse. It is an organization that was started by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. It's a very worthy organization. They don't just do the shoeboxes. They have been taking field hospitals into areas where COVID is maxed out the resources for the hospitals and the medical field. They were in Louisiana. They help with recovery from hurricanes. They do a lot of wonderful things. But the Operation Christmas Child is one of those things that they sponsor. And these are shoe boxes that go to children, not only in our country, but to other countries. And in that, they always put in a pamphlet that tells about Jesus. So they are a ministry as well as meeting the needs of those children. A lot of those children never get anything for Christmas at all. Some of them don't even know what Christmas is. So this provides something, you know, it's things for their personal use and it as well as being toys. So please consider doing that this year. If you don't want to fill a shoebox, if you would like to donate money, you can put it in the offering and just earmark it for Operation Christmas Child or the Shoebox Project if you want to do that. Do we have any other announcements that you know of? Okay, then let's prepare our hearts to worship our Lord.
Our call to worship this morning is number 174 in your hymnal. Let's stand together as we sing His Name is Wonderful. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we're able to gather and worship and praise you today. We pray now that you would examine our hearts. We pray that you would fill us to overflowing with your love and grace. We pray that all that we say and do today might be to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 467, Trust and Obey.
In the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. He abides with us still, and we all will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for His love of our way, we have
our hearts together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, I have several prayer requests to share with you. First of all, we've been asked to remember Ron Aaron in prayer. This is Terry's cousin. Yes, I knew that. Okay, and we need to remember him. Also, we need to remember that not all of our congregation is sitting here this morning. We need to remember Wanda in our prayers. She's with us on Facebook. Pray that God's healing hand would continue upon her. Our daughter Rebecca is watching from Perry, Georgia. In about 3 weeks, she's going to be commissioned as a Chief Master Sergeant in the United States Air Force. Be praying for her. Also, we've got another guest this morning. Martha Story Kitts is watching us. Recently, she had a mild heart attack, and she's back home now, and continue to pray for Martha in your prayers, too. Good to have each one of you with us this morning. We trust that you will feel the same spirit there that we feel here now. Any other joys and concerns? Continue praying for Ms. Jones, okay? Okay, be praying for Sharon. We're waiting to get the results back on a COVID test on our great-granddaughter, Marley. She's got ear infection and she's got a cough, but I do remember her in your prayers. She's all of 5 years old, and I know she would appreciate your prayers too. Also, I don't know if you knew or not, but Shirley Payne passed away last week, and we want to remember her. Any others this morning? Pray for Dylan. He's going to be moving from Columbus, Ohio to Austin, Texas. No? That's right, he moved from Columbus to St. Louis and now he's moving to Austin. Okay, only one move behind. I'm catching up. All right, so do be praying for Dylan Thompson, our grandson, as he makes his move. Those who will be traveling to her commissioning in Georgia.
Speaking of Georgia,
yes.
I want to pray for my family that's down here that's going to be having, for traveling mercies, going back to Michigan and Alabama and
Illinois.
Illinois, thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Kankakee, Illinois, Adrian, Michigan, and someplace in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. All right. Our prayer course this morning is number 393 in your hymnal, Spirit of the Living God, Fall Fresh on Me. Heavenly Father, there is so much on our minds and hearts today. Lord, we would remember 9/11 and all of those who are still suffering from it, those who have lost loved ones, those who are still battling health issues from the work they did at the Ground Zero shortly after. We pray that you would be with the families of those 343 firemen who, instead of running away from the problem, ran toward it. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all of those whose lives were touched in New York. in Washington, and in Pennsylvania. Remind us, Lord, that nothing is going to happen to us today, this week, this month, this year, that us and God together can't handle. We pray today that you would be with each of those prayer requests, with Mrs. Jones, with Ron Aaron. We pray today that you would be with those who are traveling and will be traveling. Be with those, Lord, who have had COVID, who are waiting the results of testing about COVID, those who have lost loved ones to COVID. We pray today that you would be with all of the first responders, police, fire department, EMTs, doctors, nurses. What a load they have been carrying for the past year and a half. Give them your peace and your strength. We pray today that you would be with all of our leaders, local, state, national, world. Lord, if we love our leaders, we need to pray for them. If we don't necessarily love our leaders, we need to pray even more for them. We pray this morning that you would guide them and direct them. Get their eyes off money, get their eyes off power, get their eyes off status, and get them on Jesus Christ. Remind them that we are one nation under God. And that is probably the only way that we're ever going to be one nation again, is to get back to God. Remind each of us, Lord, that it is in God we trust. Be with our troops today all over the globe. Be with those, Lord, who are no longer in active duty, but many of them are bearing the scars physically and emotionally from the service they gave. Be with those who are serving today. We pray that you would watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord, during this time of separation. We pray that you would calm their anxiety and fears, and may they find your peace, even in the midst of all these storms around the globe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and caring for us. Help us now that we might reach out and take a hold of your hand in simple childlike faith. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time, let me remind you that the offering receptacles are at the side door and the back door. As you're leaving, please remember to remember your church. We appreciate your faithfulness through all of this. The expenses continue, and we need you to continue in sharing with God what is already His. Thank you.
God, and know my heart.
may be seated.
Today's scripture is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We're hearing a lot today about climate change. And I'm here to tell you this morning, yes, it does. I have heard I don't know how many times here in East Tennessee, if you don't like the weather, wait half an hour and it'll change. And folks, it's that way all over the globe. I realize we're having some hot days. I realize in a few months we'll be having some cold days. I realize that some summers it's hotter than others, and some winters it's colder than others, and sometimes they switch. I'm not going to try to make a case for either side this morning. I am surprised how many cases are being made out of each and every single solitary thing. But we won't get into all that. But this morning I do want to talk about climate change in the church. How we need a change in climate in all of our churches. Most of us here this morning are old enough to remember a cowboy movie star by the name of Gene Autry. Personally, growing up, I was more of a Roy Rogers fan, but Gene Autry was okay. Well, also, he was former owner of the California Angels. And one day, he was talking about his rival, Walter O'Malley, who was president of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Gene Autry said, "There is nothing in the world that I wouldn't do for O'Malley. And there's nothing in the world that O'Malley wouldn't do for me." And that's the way it is. We go through life doing nothing for each other. Well, you know, a lot of times, most of the time, that's how this world we live in operates too. You leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. Before Pentecost, that was very often the way religion operated too. Then the Holy Spirit came and changed everything. Christians' attitudes changed from gloom and doom to gladness and glory. The last thing we hear from Jesus was, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Yesterday, I was scrolling through some of my messages online and on Facebook, and I found an entry by a woman. She said, "I'm doing all that I can to get people saved. I don't want anybody to miss heaven." She was headed in the right direction. And I commented back, as some of you know, I have been known to comment a time or two or 50 or 60 on Facebook. I called her by name and I said, "I really appreciate your concern." I said, "Let me share a quote with you from tomorrow's sermon." And I cut and pasted, as if I knew what I was doing, the following quote from Samuel Chadwick.
He said, but Master, the world is dying. Let it die. But people are hungry. Let them be hungry. But hearts are breaking. Let them break. But multitudes are being lost. Let them be lost rather than you attempt to do the divine work without the divine power. You get that? Go back. Go back to the upper room, back to your knees, back to searching your own heart, back to waiting and back to praying, back until you've come to the condition of heart and of your life where your personal Pentecost shall come. Then go, and you will find the works that Christ did you can do. Filled with the Spirit, miracles shall become the commonplace events of your daily experience. This morning, let me share with you that there are three climates that we ought to expect and experience in the church. First of all, as was true on the day of Pentecost, should be true today, the church had a climate of expectancy. People came because they wanted to learn more about Jesus. The apostles had been there. Jesus had taught them personally. They heard the word straight from the mouth of Jesus, so they were able to speak and teach and rebuke with all authority. Later, the apostles' teachings were written down. And now we have them today as the New Testament. Too many people today do not know what they do believe. I heard about a man that was being baptized out in the river one day. Preacher put him under and he pulled him up and says, brother, do you believe? No, I don't believe. Put him down again. Pulled him up and said, brother, do you believe? I don't believe. Put him down again and held him there for a while. Then he pulled him up and said, brother, do you believe? And the guy says, yeah, I believe. And the preacher says, what do you believe? He says, I believe you're trying to drown me. Well, you know, a lot of times we don't have a clue what we believe. You remember, not too many years ago, there was a book and a movie out called The Da Vinci Code. Thousands of people allowed this fictional work to influence how they chose to believe or not believe. It was in black and white, and it sounded plausible, so it must be true. I hope you don't feel that way about the internet, folks. There's a lot of stuff there in black and white that is anything but the truth. And it doesn't matter what you say, how good it is, or how blessed it is, there's somebody that's going to find something wrong with it. What is often believed in this world today is popular notions that are tinged with emotion. Look at people that are burning down stores and trying to burn down police stations and everything else. Popular notions tinged with emotion. A number of years ago, there was a group called Heaven's Gate. It was an American religious cult that was founded in 1974. The central belief of this cult was that believers could transform themselves into immortal extraterrestrial beings by rejecting their human nature. There are people that believe that, okay? They believe that they would ascend to heaven, which is referred to as the next level, the next floor. Push the right button, okay? Or they also called it the evolutionary level above human. Well, anyway, on March 26, 1997, the deputies of the San Diego County Sheriff's Department discovered the bodies of 39 active members of the group, including their leader, in a house in the suburb of Rancho Santa Fe. They had participated in a mass suicide, coinciding with the closest approach of the comet Hale-Bopp. You probably remember this on the news. Just before the mass suicide, the group's website was updated with the message, Hail Bop brings closure to Heaven's Gate. Our 22 years of classroom here on planet Earth is finally coming to conclusion. Graduation from the human evolutionary level, where we are happily prepared to leave this world. They believe the comet was basically a spaceship coming to pick them up and take them to a new home. This group had previously gone under the names Human Individual Metamorphosis. What do you believe? Well, I'm a human evolutionary metamorphosis-ite. Whatever. Well, that wasn't the only one. There have been hundreds, even thousands of groups like this. Many of you remember the names James Warren Jones. Or he went by Jim Jones. He was an American cult leader. He was a political activist and a preacher who led the People's Temple, which was a religious organization that existed from 1955 to 1976. In 1965, the group established its headquarters in San Francisco and became heavily involved in left-wing politics through the 1970s. Jones then left the United States and established Jonestown in Guyana, compelling many of his followers to live there with him. He confiscated their passports and all of their money. By 1976, there were media reports starting to come to the surface about human rights abuses at Jonestown. So U.S. Representative Leo Ryan led a delegation to the commune in November. While they were boarding their return flight with some of the former temple members who had wished to leave, Ryan and four others were gunned down by gunmen from Jonestown. Jones then ordered and likely forced a mass murder-suicide that claimed the lives of 918 commune members. 304 of them were children. Almost all of them died from drinking Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. How in the world can people fall for that sort of thing? No, they're doing it today. It's not that the people then didn't know better, the people today know better, but that doesn't stop them. Jesus said the world would know his disciples by the love they showed for others. Another hallmark of the people who followed Jesus is an appetite for the truth. Now in 2021, I don't know how we determine what is the truth and what isn't. Used to be you could watch the news, but, well, you know. Not only do we want to know more as God's children, we want the Holy Spirit to apply that truth to our lives. Jesus reminded us that by our words we would be justified and by our words we would be condemned. As we take God's word into our hearts, the Holy Spirit enables us not only to read the Bible, but to memorize it and to embody it, to allow the word of God not only to live in us, but to live through us. It also applies to the words that we sing. You know, the Bible says by our words we will be justified and by our words we will be condemned. Come, Holy Spirit, I need... No, don't bother me right now, Holy Spirit. I didn't mean that. I'm just singing the song that's in the bulletin. I surrender all. No, I can't do that right now, Lord. I've got too much going on. Trust and obey. Well, no, not this week. Maybe someday. Another discussion that I saw online, somebody was talking about when the world ends. They said, oh, when the world ends, I'll be ready to go to heaven. Or before the world ends, I want to be able to talk to my family and friends about Jesus. And again, I won't mention any names, but a certain preacher from the Methodist Church in Rockwood commented and said, we need to realize that personally, our world can end in one heartbeat. So often we think, oh, we're going to get word to some huge asteroid out in space that's headed toward the Earth, and in 2 weeks it's going to hit the Earth and life will be gone. Okay, we got 2 weeks to get our act together. Every single one of us are living on borrowed time. We don't know how many more breaths we've got, how many more heartbeats we've got. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let me share the words with you to a song that you probably have sung before. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. The words say, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. More about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. When we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, we have an air of expectancy every time the church doors are open. We have an opportunity to grow in the Lord. That's what Sunday school is about. That's why we have youth and children's programs if there's not a pandemic going on. That is why we never outgrow our need to grow and learn together. When the Holy Spirit filled the early church, they experienced a new fellowship with God and with each other. This fellowship was known as koinonia. It's a good Greek word, koinonia, with a K. Without the Spirit, the church then and now, because of plans and programming, was pasted together. But when the Spirit came, they were melted or welded together through God's love. Many of you will know that when metal is properly welded, the strongest point in that piece of metal is right there at the weld. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the church. Many churches today have no more spiritual community than the Kiwanis or the Rotary or the Lions Club or any of the others. They're good organizations. I'm not questioning that at all. But that's not how the church is called to be. We're called to a deeper fellowship. Keith Miller, in his book, The Taste of New Wine, said, our churches are filled with people who outwardly look contented and at peace, but inwardly are crying out for someone to love them just as they are, confused, frustrated, often frightened, guilty, and often unable to communicate even with their own families. But the other people in the church, why, they look so happy and contented that one seldom has the courage to admit his or her own deep needs before such a self-sufficient group as the average church meeting appears to be. This describes a church without koinonia fellowship. I had the opportunity to spend a good part of 3.5 years up in Dayton, Ohio, in a degree program. One of the professors there that I got to know was Howard Snyder at United Theological Seminary. This is what he said. He said, koinonia is that fellowship of believers which the Holy Spirit gives. It is the basis of oneness that Christians share in Jesus Christ. Paul reminded the Christians at Ephesus, and he's reminding you and me today, that we are all one body and have the same Spirit. We have been called to the same glorious future. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And there is only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. In this climate of expectancy, the church becomes a center of where lonely people find friends, where sinners find understanding and forgiveness, and where Christians can get day-by-day help from those with common belief. Number two, the church then and the church today should have a climate of exchange. We heard in our text this morning, it said, and all believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the early church shared everything with everyone. Now, over the years, there have been people that have tried to connect this New Testament version of Christianity with the 20th and 21st century version of communism. Sounds similar, but there are some major differences between what happened then and what God wants to happen in the church today and what communism promotes. I'm not going to get into a political discussion with that, but here's some of the differences. One of the hallmarks of the early church, their impulse was love, not force, as in communism. Their sharing sprang from a faith in God, not a denial of God. Their action was voluntary, not obligatory. Their participants were the church, not enemies of the church. There's some thought that the early Christians that were in Jerusalem when all of that happened, 3,000 people became members of the church in one day, that they ended up staying in Jerusalem longer than they expected. Their reservations at the Holiday Inn and at the Hilton ran out, and there were no other rooms available. So as a result, there was a need for housing and food. And God's people did whatever was necessary to meet that need. When the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts and we're willing to sacrifice what little we have for the blessings of God and God's kingdom, things will happen. And thirdly, the church had an attitude of encouragement. Imagine that. The church had a climate of encouragement that when anybody would come to church to worship, they felt like they had been lifted. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Seems like all week long we're dragged through the valleys. Here's our chance to be on a mountaintop. Luke continued, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Have you ever gone to a concert and got there early while all of the musicians are warming up? It's total chaos, total racket. Then the choir master calls for the pitch note from one of the oboe players, and each musician tunes his or her instrument to that note. Then there's silence as a conductor steps to the podium, raises the baton, and leads the entire orchestra in inspiring melody and harmony, in tune and in sync with each other. Worship is that. It's a time to celebrate, to attune ourselves to Jesus Christ, to unite our hearts and voices in public praise of the one worthy of that praise, and to allow him to bring out the very best in us. In a small European village, they have a beautiful custom. For the evening service, each person brings a small lit brass lamp and places it on the shelf right beside where they sit. It lights up the whole sanctuary. But if one person or one family is missing, there's a dark spot. Wouldn't it be great if we could sense that in our church? When we're absent from fellowship, and celebration in body or spirit or both, we add to the darkness. As we join together, the Holy Spirit fans the glow of grace and inspiration. What happened on that first Pentecost and what will happen today is that the Holy Spirit will transform our minds and lives and attract our families and neighbors and friends into this koinonia fellowship. George was an alcoholic. His family lived in poverty and in constant fear of him. One evening, that all changed. The Holy Spirit stirred his heart and he experienced God's transforming grace and forgiveness. Several weeks later, while at work, some of his co-workers were teasing him about his newfound faith. One of them said, "Hey, George, do you believe that Jesus can turn water into wine?" George paused for a moment, and then he said, "I'm a new Christian. I still don't know a lot about the Bible. I don't know about Jesus turning water into wine, but I do know that in my house, Jesus changed wine into groceries and beer into clothes and whiskey into new furniture. Recently, I had the opportunity to donate 12 boxes of books from my library to Asbury University and Seminary up in Wilmore, Kentucky. In those boxes were 18 books by E. Stanley Jones, who for many years was a Methodist missionary in India. Wasn't a very tall man, very slight in stature. When I was in college up in Kankakee, Illinois, I heard E. Stanley Jones speak in chapel. In fact, he autographed several of my books, several of his books that I had in my library. And in one of those books, here's what he said. "Before this, it was thought that goodness was the exceptional achievement of exceptional people. But here, the ordinary garden variety of humanity found a contagious, powerful type of goodness that transformed the face of humanity. And they found it not as a whipping up of the will in a strained effort at goodness, but as a relaxed spontaneity from within. Goodness had become their native air, the natural output. They were naturalized in contagious goodness. This opened up such an astonishing possibility to morally beaten humanity that the multitudes flocked into this new fellowship where anything that was right was possible. A strange, sober joy went across that sad, decaying world. Joy that goodness was here for the asking, that moral victory was possible now, that guilt could be resolved and inner unity found, that a total person could be heightened and a plus added to one, and that a fellowship of like-souled persons gave one sense of belonging. It was good news, and it worked. We are in need of a change of climate in the church today. In Rockwood United Methodist Church, and Chevron United Methodist Church, and all of the United Methodist churches, and in all of the churches of every denomination all around the globe. Every church that proclaims the name and the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to experience this climate change. Change of expectancy, change of exchange, and change of encouragement. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you to come anew and afresh upon your people and upon your church. We pray now, Lord, that your Spirit would come, that you would fill us, not just halfway full, not just full to the brim, but Lord, the way you operate, we pray that you would fill us to overflowing, that all of the overflow might splash out on all those we encounter during the week. that they might experience the hope and the joy and the peace and the love and the forgiveness that we too have found in Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the praise, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 714. Number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Now may the love and grace of God fill you to overflowing, that as you go out into the sin-sick world, they might experience what you have discovered as you have worshiped and praised him today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.